This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off The Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, Shelburne take on the might of Ajax in Amsterdam in the Europa Conference League. Bohemians welcome FC Midtjylland to Tala Stadium in their European clash. And Gianni Infantino and FIFA come out fighting as the wagons are circled. Tonight, Shelburne take on Ajax in the Europa Conference League qualifier at the Johan Cruyff Arena in Amsterdam. Shells saw off Estonian side Nomi Kalju 6-4 in aggregate in the second qualifying round despite suffering a 2-1 loss in the second leg away from home. Last Sunday, Shelburne made three changes to the squad and lost 1-0 at Waterford. While an injury crisis is starting to calm down within the club, strikers John Martin and Mipo Odebeku remain on the comeback trail. Although they have 36 league titles to their name, Ajax have struggled in recent years domestically. In a league where two teams have historically been dominant, PSV have a strong grip on the title, having won the last three in succession. Ahead of the game, Shell's boss John Russell said it is great to come to play football at a place like this.
Yeah, amazing occasion. We're looking forward to the game tomorrow. Sellout crowd. Real history here. Johan Cruyff Arena. For me as a kid growing up, watching the Champions League in the 90s, you know, that Ajax team from 95, I was 10 years of age, and you know, in my room in Galway, watching that on the telly and seeing Cliver come off the bench and get the winner. But you know, all those players back then, you know, Overmars and Reisiger and the De Boers and all this, and you come to the stadium tonight and you see the people on the walls. And for us now as an Irish club, coming to represent the league and the country against one of the European powerhouses, it's a special occasion.
Ben Symes will be there for us at the game tonight in Amsterdam. Ajax, who have won four European Cups in their history, would usually not be playing at this stage of Europe's third-tier competition, but a fifth-place finish in the Eredivisie put pains to that. And in the Jordaan district of Amsterdam, Ben caught up with Dutch football writer Auke Kok to speak about where it all has gone wrong for the Dutch giants.
How has it ended up like this?
Well, it all started with a dick pic. It's true. It's true. Sorry for that.
It's okay. Isn't it's the true. Truth? The truth happens.
Yes. So, and that's and because that was, you know, and the Mark Overmars. He was a brilliant, very successful director of Ajax, technical director, and he was. Trapped with that hey man, what are you doing? No, nothing. And then, you know, it all came up, and he was, of course, kicked out of Ajax.
So this is Mark Overmars, who was technical director, and he was found sending unsolicited pictures to people.
And before that, for years, he had a wonderful harmony relationship with Erik ten Hag, the coach. So this really was a really brilliant combination of things, and then suddenly, you know, Mark Overmars was gone, and he had there was no information about his deals with players and clubs, etc., because he was brilliant in getting players and making promises to players, stay for 1 year, and then I'll get you a wonderful club, etc., etc. But he had it all in his head, so he was gone 1 hour after another, and then there was nothing left, and there was a panic in the club, and then there came some new managers who were young and not so experienced, and they didn't know what to do, and therefore, you know, like a pile of cards, it all tumbled down. And then the club made some silly decisions. The core name in this is Mislintat. It was a German, kind of post-hippie German with a laptop and a wonderful story. And
a LinkedIn manager.
Yes, and something like that. And Ajax somehow out of panic or whatever, because, you know, here in Amsterdam, the feeling is always Ajax is a wonderful club and it's better than all the other clubs. And there's always hubris, and that's also the strong part of the club and at the same time the weakest link in the club, because they of people at Ajax often think too high of themselves, higher than is real. And so they were panicked because they wanted to be back on top as fast as possible, and they gave Michelin Tat. Nobody had ever heard of this German guy with a beard like you. And Michelin Tat started buying no-name players for lots of money and very high salaries. And he just did that because there was a vacuum in leadership at the club.
And if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Kickoff in Amsterdam is at 7 o'clock and Ben Symes will be on Off the Ball from 7 on the GoLight app and on Newstalk to give updates. Bohemians' European run continued with a dramatic penalty shootout win away to Balkani of Kosovo last week, with the aggregate score locked at 4-4. After a 3-2 scoreline after extra time, Jordan Flores netted the winning penalty, sparking wild celebrations from the away fans. The tie had a special meaning, as the first leg was the last European game held at the current Daily Mount Park ground, with Ross Tierney scoring a 90-minute winner to head to Kosovo 2-1 up. Bo's boss Alan Reynolds called it the highlight of his career, and the win would certainly end up being the highlight of the season for Bo's. They take on FC Michelin from Denmark, who have bags of European pedigree. They were beaten by Besiktas in the Europa League second qualifying round last time out and reached the last 16 of the Europa League before being beaten by Nottingham Forest in penalties last season. They also defeated Celtic and Forest in the league phase of that competition last year. This is Keane Burns' first European experience with Bo's, and he says it is a great experience to play against different styles of football.
Yeah, no, really good. Different, I'd say, than our league. Like, our league is obviously hectic all the time. It's kind of like everyone's just pressing and stuff like that, whereas these games can be tactical. Teams are kind of sitting in and picking you off, especially in the Gibraltar team. I'm probably bringing a bit of bite, like you're saying, with the sending off and stuff over there, and not reacting to that and stuff. So, you know, different cultures are always going to have different styles of play and stuff. Yeah, that's what's been good. I've really enjoyed it.
Kick-off at Tallaght Stadium is at 6 o'clock. Derry City have made a bold move to land former Celtic midfielder Scott Brown as their new manager, according to reporting in the Mirror. Brown is best known for his playing days at Celtic, where he spent 14 years and played over 600 games. The 41-year-old has been out of work since late March, when he stepped away from the Ayr United post, a job he had held for just over 2 years. His previous coaching experience was with Aberdeen, where he worked as a player coach, and Fleetwood Town, where he took on his first head coach role in the summer of 2022. The County Stripes are on the lookout for a new manager now that the decision has been taken to part ways with Tiernan Lynch after a season and a half in the hot seat. And on the LOI pod this week, Stephen Doyle was joined by Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn, and the trio discussed who could be next at the Brandywell.
I'm going to cut across you there. Sorry, I don't like cutting across you, but we are short on time because I do have somebody to suggest to you that fits the exact bill of person you have just described over those last 5 minutes or however long you've been going on there for. James McLean, Gareth. He's got a lot to say about this squad. He's from the Craigan. He's a real Derry man. And he seems to know a lot about management and managers and how they should do their jobs. Should James McLean get the job?
He's got plenty of personality, doesn't he, Steve, for that role. I don't think James, I don't even know if James is doing his badges. I don't think James has ever looked at the management gig as something that he wanted to go down. I really don't. Listen, would he be somebody that would be in the talk? I mean, to me, you would need to get him. You need to get him in as interim, yeah, to give him a taste for it.
I should say as well, Gareth, like I'm being slightly tongue in cheek here as well, because I just don't think it's going to be an easy job for whoever does come in when you've got a player who's going on social media every week or so to give his opinions on the manager and the squad.
Yeah, no, it doesn't help. It doesn't help at all. I mean, I have no interest in talking about that sort of stuff that doesn't help Derry City. And I don't think James understands how bad it is a look for the Derry City to air their dirty laundry out in public. What we need is somebody to come in and unite and build a relationship, the intimacy between the fans, the players and the club again. Because, to be honest with you, probably the last time it happened was the cup final under Rory Higgins, where there was red and white all over the town. It was a real feel-good factor. But getting someone to do that and having the smarts to be able to do that, as Vinny said, is really difficult.
And remember, you can listen to the LY Pod for free each and every week in your OTB Football podcast feed. Rangers and Hearts are in Europa League third qualifying round action this evening. Derek McInnes' team take on Jagiellonia Białystok from Poland, while Hearts face a huge challenge as they head to Portugal to face Benfica. Barcelona are exploring a deal to sign Manchester City midfielder Rodri. The Barcelona project is understood to appeal to Rodri based on the fit with their footballing style and expected smooth adaptation to a dressing room where he will be reunited with eight members of Spain's World Cup winning squad in Joan Garcia, Eric Garcia, Pau Gabarcia, Gavi, Dani Olmo, Pedri, Ferran Torres and Lamine Yamal. It's reported that Real Madrid were working on a deal for Rodri, operating on the basis that an agreement could be reached for the 2024 Ballon d'Or winner. Barcelona are now also studying a move, with fellow midfielder Frenkie de Jong expected to be out for a lengthy period after tearing the medial collateral ligament in his right knee. The club would need to sell players to free up space and be in the strongest financial position to proceed with the deal. Rodri has entered the final 12 months of his contract at City, who are aware of the interest from both the Spanish clubs. And the Athletic previously reported that he had shown little willingness to extend his terms. The 30-year-old spoke in April's international break of his wish to return to his home country during his career and play in La Liga once again, although he also highlighted the appeal of representing Madrid. FIFA's under pressure president has received backing from the organization's management despite calls for him to step down. Gianni Infantino apologized and admitted mistakes were made in an open letter published in response to his now scrapped World Cup sell-off plans. Sky's Rob Harris has been reading the statement issued by the head of football's governing body.
We acknowledge mistakes were made in the process of the proposed establishment of the FIFA Forward Enterprise. It was certainly not the intention of the FIFA Council and FIFA member associations to feel excluded from the process, and it should have been handled differently.
Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says his players are angry after last night's 3-1 defeat to Real Betis in Dublin. Despite a goal from Piero Hincapié, the Premier League champions are well beaten in their latest pre-season game, and it prompted this blunt assessment.
By the way, we competed, especially in and around our box, is not to the standards that we are used to, so sometimes it's good to create even more fire in the belly. They are fuming, but this is good. That's what we need.
Borussia Dortmund and Como visit the Emirates Stadium for friendlies before the Community Shield a week on Saturday. Newcastle head coach Matthias Jeisler has been described as a rock star by the club's chief executive David Hopkinson. The German coach's appointment was confirmed last night, with their Premier League campaign kicking off against Liverpool in less than 3 weeks. Jeisler told Newcastle TV he wants everyone to pull together.
I used to say control the controllables, and then I'm pretty sure if everyone, like here, the staff, the players and the fans are going in the same direction, then it's going to be a really interesting and successful season.
And with Mo Salah on the verge of completing his move to Turkish Super League side Trabzonspor, the newsroom crew of myself, Will O'Callaghan and Eve Conway discussed whether the move actually makes sense or not.
I think it's easy for us to say here and be like, Trabzonspor, but obviously they're a huge club within Turkey.
Within Turkey is the very important caveat, doing a bit of lifting there.
It is, but yeah, like his level should be above that, but even... like if he goes to Serie A, like this, you know, has anyone seen some of the Serie A teams, their preseason results? Now, I'm not going to read too much into preseason, but Cardiff City beat Roma 4-1 the other day. Dybala scored for Roma. And Bournemouth beat Genoa 10-2. So if he went to Italy, if he went to Turkey, I think that's his level. And obviously Trabzonspor and the Turkish clubs, which we've seen quite clearly this summer, are spending a lot of money.
I suppose my point is more... 33-year-old Mo Salah, when he was still playing really well up until March of last year, not last season, last calendar year, that player would have had so many offers if he'd walked on a free that summer.
Yeah.
Really, really top club is what I'm named for him.
But even the way he...
the way he left?
Yeah, decided he to begin his departure from Liverpool. It did sour a lot of fans and a lot of people. Like it got pretty toxic towards the end, especially such a, you know, probably the best player to play for Liverpool since... Kenny Dalglish, like an absolute club icon who's part of Premier League winning teams and Champions League winning teams. It really did leave a... Now, I'm not a Liverpool fan, but it would leave a sour taste in your mouth for a club legend to kind of go out the way he did. And now, obviously, both him and both Arne Slot are obviously out of Liverpool now. We'll see what happens to them next year. But
and if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Daily podcast feed for free. That is about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson, and we'll be back with more tomorrow.
Off the Balls, Football Daily.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more. Become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.